Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room. For those that are listening in other devices and later on recording, Sabbath blessing, everyone. On this Sabbath, March 29, 2025, this is our part two of our chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More of our lesson 431. I hope and pray everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear ones. And we are going to ask our dear brother to be able to sing a new hymn for a theme of a new chapter. The hymn is entitled, To God Be the Glory. You could find it in hymn 627. And now I will pass it to our dear brother to share.
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his Son, who yielded his life an atonement for sin, and opened the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he hath done. Great things he has taught us, great things he has done, and great our rejoicing through Jesus the Son. But purer and higher and greater will be our joy and our wonder when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he hath done.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear brother. Welcome to all the precious family that are coming in. If any one of the little ones, by the help of parents or elder sibling, would like to open your section with prayer, may you unmute your mic, dear one.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for the Sabbath day. Please protect the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall I labor, do all day work, and the Sabbath day is the Sabbath of the Lord. Please bless the people who's in the Sabbath, who's died in the Sabbath. And we protect everybody that I know. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. It's story time, little ones. Let's have a listening ear for our dear brother. We'll begin with a new chapter. This is chapter 24, entitled Death of Christ, in our storybook, Desire of Ages. The story about Jesus, forgive me.
Yes, the story of Jesus. The Bible verses for our lesson are taken from the book of, or books of, Psalm 22 and Matthew 27. Psalm 22:1 says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far, far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? David had strange words. And Matthew 27:45-46. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. You even got lightning in there. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Chapter 24, Death of Christ. In yielding up his precious life, Christ was not upheld by triumphant joy. His heart was rent with anguish and oppressed with gloom, something we'll never understand. But it was not the fear or the pain of death that caused his suffering. It was the crushing weight of the sin of the world, a sense of separation from his Father's love. This was what broke the Savior's heart and brought his death so soon. Christ felt the woe that sinners will feel when they awake to realize the burden of their guilt, to know that they have forever separated themselves from the joy and peace of heaven. Angels beheld with amazement the agony and despair borne by the Son of God. His anguish of mind was so intense that the pain of the cross was hardly felt. Nature itself was in sympathy with the scene. The sun shone clearly until midday, then suddenly it seemed to be blotted out. All across the, all about the cross was darkness as deep as the blackest midnight without stars. This supernatural darkness lasted fully 3 hours. The reason it's called supernatural darkness is because it was midday and the sun should have been visible up there. A nameless terror took possession of the multitude. The cursing and reviling ceased. People thought it was judgment day. Men, women, and children fell upon the earth in abject terror. Lightnings occasionally flashed forth from the cloud and revealed the cross and the crucified Redeemer. Although at that time of retribution, all thought that their time of retribution had come. At the ninth hour, the darkness lifted from the people, but still wrapped the Savior as with a mantle. Now, do you know that that is a perfect miracle? Because when you turn on the light, darkness disappears. But here, there was light everywhere and darkness just around the cross. And you couldn't see through it either. The lightning seemed to be hurled at him as he hung upon the cross. It was then that he sent up that despairing cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? This is taken from the story of Jesus, page 145 and 146.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So next Sabbath, we will be reviewing our first part of our lesson, The Death of Christ, in our tiny top lesson book, The Story About Jesus. And that will take is April 5th, 2025, by God's grace. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. It is time for Tiny Thoughts and parents to learn precious lesson in God's creation through nature. We are still in our topic, Mummies of the Bible. So let's have a listening ear, little ones, for our dear brother will share.
Seth, blessings, everyone. Here's today's lesson concerning the Mummies of the Bible. Our Bible verses for our lesson and our topic, Mammals of the Bible, taken from FBL Year 2, Quarter 4, from Lesson 6, The Sower, the Seed, and the Soil. Matthew chapter 13, verse 5, it says, Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, afterward they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And verses 20 and 21 says, But he that received the seed into stony place, he says, the same is he that heareth the word and with joy he receiveth it. Yet hath he not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. And looking through nature, beasts of burden. And today's lesson will be lesson 3, the body of a horse. Look at the illustrations of the horse on pages 130 to 32. And the memory verse of the whole lesson is Ephesians 4:13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And the character quality of the story is industry versus slothfulness. Industry is the habit of having hard and steadily with thoughts and deeds directed by heaven. Nature, the body of a horse. Do you know how the height of a horse is measured? In hands. The average width of a man's hand is 4 inches or 10 centimeters. The horse is measured from the ground to the highest points of the ridges between the shoulder bone. This reminds us of the seed that grew in height very quickly, but the plant had only shallow roots, and so it soon lost its height. Those which have deep roots will reach the heights of Christian experience as described in Ephesians 4:13, our memory verse. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And on our right is a problem, which is an illustration, a picture of the horse rider measuring the horse with a huge meter stick. If a horse stood at 14.2 hands or 14 hands and 2 inches, how tall would it be? It'd be 58 inches or 140 centimeters high. That would equal to almost 6 feet. Okay. A horse's body is covered with a coat of hair. In the autumn, they will grow. Almost 5 feet. Anyway, a horse's body is covered with a coat of hair. In the autumn, they will grow a thick winter coat, which will be shed in the spring. Horses never lose the hair from the mane and the tail. The mane and tail remaining in the same throughout the year can call to mind to us that our standards should never change. Shallow-rooted Christians change their standards to fit in with others because they cannot stand the scourging heat of scorn or criticism. The tail is used to brush pesky insects away. The horse also has special muscles that twitch and rid the skin of insects. As you watch the horse, it seems it is working hard and steadily, or industriously, at ridding its body of pests. So it must constantly labor to resist temptation. When there are a lot of flies around, a mare will hover over her colt and whisk the biting insects away with her from her little one. After a while, the foal learns how to do it and will slide up alongside its mother with its head near her tail, letting her shoo the buzzing insects away. It can tell us how God gave us our mothers to help protect us from our pesky enemy, the devil. Stay close to her side. The horse swishing its tail to keep insects away can prompt us to think of Isaiah 59:19. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Horses have sweat glands that help them stay cool. It can remind us how the water of life helps us not to be hot-tempered. Shallow-root Christians get hot-tempered because their roots are not deep enough to sustain them in a trial. Horses are found in many colors and shades, like black, brown, chestnut, or reddish-brown, a dun or yellowish-gray, gold, gray, sorrel, or yellowish-brown, and white. The color of the horse can remind us how a plant that does not have roots, from living green to yellow, then into dead and brown. To stay living green, our roots must go deep that we might take the water of life freely. Revelation 22:17. And in the bottom left corner, you see a horse breed called a Pasofina. If you're wondering what color this horse is, its color is white with brown, with sorrel spots, butts on its body. How do you measure her up today? Measure by the word of God. And on the left above this picture of this cowboy riding a horse, first it says, he said to me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Revelation 21:6. And on our right is a green forest, list of activities you can do to help you remember the lesson. One, look for horses, use an encyclopedia or guidebook to identify the breed. Two, use a measuring tape and measure father's hand or mother's hand or even in your own. Then measure yourself to see how many hands high you are. Three, sing the hymn Sowing in the Morning. If you don't know the song, you're free to learn it. Four, for individual activities, stories, and poems, use the book on entitled Children's Bible Activities, Stories, and Poems for this quarter. Five, say your memory verse. And here in the remind, list of things you can do while you remember the lesson. One, as you work together as a family, let your chores remind you of your lesson. Two, in potting a plant, make sure there is plenty of soil and room for the roots to grow. Three, when swatting the flies or ridding the kinship of insects to help keep it clean, remember how the horses rid themselves of pesky insects, how industrious we must be to resist temptation, how thankful we are for Jesus' help.
Recording in progress.
Four, if you are on a picnic and mother is busy, you could offer to fan the food to keep the flies off until everyone is seated. If it is very hot out, we might offer to fan grandmother's face or the little infant who is too young to do it for itself. Remarkable parent food. The work of education in the home, if it is to accomplish all that God designs, it shall demands that parents be diligent students of the scriptures. They must be learners of the great teacher. Day by day, the law, love, and kindness must be upon their lips. Their lives must reveal the grace and truth that was seen in the life of their example. Then a sanctified love will bind the hearts of parents and children together. And the youth will grow up, established in the faith, and rooted and grounded in the love of God. Child Guidance, pages 66. What ordinary virtue is there more commendable in the young than industry? And of all lazy persons, I dislike most to see as a lazy young woman, destined by her creator at once to charm, instruct, and improve the world around her by her looks, her words, and her actions, and this to a degree which no female has ever yet attained. How exceedingly painful it is to see her floating along the stream of inaction or insignificance without making one considerable effort to arouse her faculties, bodily, mental, and moral, from their half-dormant condition. Too many females who are trained in the bosom of ease and abundance had no idea of any attempts at benevolent effort or even of active, untiring industry. They live for themselves and seem to desire no more. W.A. Alcott. But while laziness is a temptation to many, there are yet some industrious Marthas who need to be careful in the opposite direction. It is important for these to ask themselves whether their most useful, industrious pursuits are not motivated by a natural fondness for bustle or even a love of notice, whether even their charitable labors grow not more from a restless spirit than from real piety. But in this picture, we see some shire horses is pulling a plow behind this farmer. It says it says above in the picture, horses can teach lessons of industriousness. What can we learn from our nature walk experience, dear ones? Let's use our listening ears, little ones. And our dear sister, Intercessor found our Sharon and Bella and Callie on their watch, taken from our dear sisters Joan and Michelle. And also taken from our dear sisters Joan and Michelle of the family working hard steadily with thoughts and deeds as directed by head in the creatures within their gates. We see Brother Justin playing with the dogs and using a measuring tape, and you see our dear Brother Bob holding a snake in his hand. Wouldn't you like to share your experience from these photos? Next we have science taken from our dear sister Edie Fanny, photographs of our team of horses. Sister Edie, would you like to share your experience from these pictures? All right, next we have signs taken from our dear sister, Cerisia, and family. And it seems in these pictures, they're riding ponies. And Sister Cece, would you like to share your experience from these pictures?
Yes, all the blessings, everyone. These are when the girls were a little bit younger and their experience when we take them to the farm. And they were able to have little horse and pony rides.
And finally, we will end with these pictures from Sister Grace. Which is of her granddaughter Brooklyn riding this pony in these two pictures, and on the left is a lunar eclipse or red moon. Sister Grace, would you like to share your experience from these pictures?
Yes. Sabbath blessing, everyone. So the two pictures on my right is my granddaughter, and she was having an experience at a farm with her mom. And also the lunar eclipse on the other side was caught by my son. I was at work, and everyone was calling to him to come and see this lunar eclipse, and he was able to capture that scene. It was beautiful.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, dear Remnant family, for all the photos and all your input to enrich our little ones' learning. And remember, little one, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus, the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done. Welcome to all the precious family that are joining us. Our opening song is a hymn entitled, Fishers of Men. It is the hymn to our theme. If you would like to share the hymn, dear ones, may you unmute your mic to do so. I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. If you follow me, if you follow me, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me.
Hear Christ.
Go ahead, your sister.
Hear Christ calling, come unto me, come unto me, come unto me. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I will give you rest. Hear Christ calling, come unto me, I will give you rest.
Amen. Praise the Lord. If any one of the elder siblings, mommies or daddies, or even our guests, would like to open our family meeting, dear ones, with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so.
Sabbath blessings, everybody. Thank you, God, for bringing us up for this morning. And please protect us. Please protect me and my mom and my... Please protect the Sabbath when we're going. And while we're going to be learning about you, please protect the people who are here, people who are not here. Because like everybody that I know, in Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, little ones. Our opening scripture to our study today is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verse 33. And it reads, Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. This Sabbath, boys and girls, mommies and daddies, our guests and those listening over other devices and later recorded. We will continue with part two of our lesson entitled By the Sea Once More of our study book, The Desire of Ages. Who would like to take the following verses, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
John 21:10, King James Version. Jesus saith unto them, bring the of the fish which ye have now caught. John 21:11, King James Version. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, and 153 all there was many, yet was not the net broken.
And we'll bubble down to share.
John 21:12, Jesus said unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord.
John 21:13, Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise.
John 21:14. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead.
John 21:15. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Today we will cover pages 810 through 811. Welcome to all those that are coming in. We are in the Desire of Ages, page 810. Who would like to take the first paragraph, dear one? May you unmute your mic.
Desire of Ages, page 810. They were too much amazed to question whence came the fire and the food. Jesus saith unto them, bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Peter rushed for the net, which he had dropped, and helped his brethren drag it to the shore. After the work was done, and the preparation made, Jesus bade the disciples come and dine.
Continuing, he broke the food and divided it among them, and was known and acknowledged by all the seven the miracle of feeding the 5,000 on the mountainside was now brought to their minds, but a mysterious away off was upon them. In silence, they gazed upon the risen Savior. The Desire of Ages, page 810, paragraph 4.
Vividly they recalled the scene beside the sea when Jesus had bidden them follow him. They remembered how, at his command, they had launched out into the deep and had let down their net. and pets and the cats that had been so abundant as to fill the net even to breaking. Then Jesus had called them to leave their fishing boats and had promised to make them fishers of men. Next slide, please. It was to bring this scene to their minds and to deepen its impression that he had again performed the miracle. His act was a renewal of the commission of the disciples. It showed them that the death of their master had not lessened their obligation to the work he had assigned them. So they were to be deprived of his personal companionship and of the means of support by their former employment. Next slide, please. Continuing, the Savior, the risen Savior, would still have a care for them. While they were doing his work, he would provide for their needs. And Jesus had a purpose in bidding them cast their net on the right side of the ship. On that side, he stood upon the shore. That was the side of faith. If they labored in connection with him, his divine power, combining with their human effort, they could not fail of success. Desire of Ages, page 810, paragraph 5.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn our first scripture song together, dear ones. And this one is taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 16, verse 24, King James Margin, taken from the Holy Bible. Our memory verse or scripture song will be sung in a cappella. So in Matthew 16:24, then said Jesus unto his disciple, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and pick up his cross and follow me to a life eternally. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow Jesus. He is the way, truth, and life. We are in the Desire Ages. We are in page 811. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mind.
Another lesson Christ had to give, relating especially to Peter. Peter's denial of his Lord had been in shameful contrast to his former profession of loyalty. He had dishonored Christ and had incurred the distrust of his brethren. They thought he would not be allowed to take his former position among them, and he himself felt that he had forfeit his trust. Next slide, please.
Desire of Ages, page 811, continuing. Before being called to take up again his apostolic work, he must before them all give evidence of his repentance. Without this, his sin, though repented of, might have destroyed his influence as a minister of Christ. The Savior gave him opportunity to regain the confidence of his brethren, and, so far as possible, to remove the reproach he had brought upon the gospel.
Amen. Let's learn another beautiful song together, dear ones. But this one is taken from the Spirit of Prophecy, the book entitled Step to Christ, with margin. From Scripture Singer Song, the section Encouraging Quotes of the Memory Verse CD.
Jesus loves to have us come to him just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, just as we are, just as we are. as we are, just as we are. It is His glory to encircle us, encircle us in the arms of His love, and to bind up our wounds, to cleanse us, to cleanse us from all impurity. Jesus loves to have us come to Him just as we are, just as we are. Sinful, helpless, dependent, steps to Christ, page 52.
We are still in the Desire Ages, page 811. Who would like to take the following paragraph, dear ones? May you unmute your mic.
Here is given a lesson for all Christ followers. The gospel makes no compromise with evil. It cannot excuse sin. Secret sins are to be confessed in secret to God. But for open sin, open confession is required. The reproach of the disciples' sin is cast upon Christ. It causes Satan to triumph and wavering souls to stumble. By giving proof of repentance, the disciple, so far as lies in his power, is to remove this reproach. The Desire of Ages, page 811, paragraph 2, and on the side of the slide reads, from Romans chapter 2, verse 16, King James Version, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. And from Psalms 90, verse 8, Thou hast set our iniquities before Thee, our secret sins in the light of Thy countenance. Amen.
Continuing the reading. While Christ and His disciples were eating together by the seaside, the Savior said to Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Referring to his brethren. Peter had once declared, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Matthew chapter 26, verse 33. But he now put a truer estimate upon himself. Yea, Lord, he said, thou knowest that I love thee. And on the slide, on its repeat of what we've just read in the verse, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Continuing on the next slide, please. Continuing, there is no vehement assurance that his love is greater than that of his brethren. He does not express his own opinion of his devotion. To him who can read all the motives of the heart, he appeals to judge as to his sincerity. Thou knowest that I love thee, and Jesus bids him, Feed my lambs. Desire of Ages, page 811, paragraph 3.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's learn our last beautiful song together, dear ones. And this one is from the book of Psalms, chapter 139, verses 23 and 24 from the King James Version. This is taken from Bible Music, but this is the scripture song in volume 2 of the Memory Verse CD.
Search me, O God. Try me and know my heart.
Dear ones, we have come to the ending of our lesson. We are going to hold all questions till we gather next week for a review by God's grace. So next week we'll be reviewing part two of our new lesson entitled By the Sea Once More. If you have any other question besides the ones that you will be answering, you can be able to do research, send it before Thursday if you want further information. Otherwise, you can be able to stay with the information until we gather once more and you can be able to share. If anyone of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to close our family meeting with prayer, may you unmute your mic to do so, dear ones.
May we bow our heads and our knees as far as we can. Dear Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy most and holy name. Father, we thank you for our gathering here today on your Sabbath day. We thank you for all the blessings that you have been given us. Thank you, Lord, for being merciful and demonstrating to us the wonderful love that is immeasurable that you have shown us, Father Jesus, and your mercy. Be with the little ones. Continue to bless them and keep them for this blessed Sabbath day. Be with their parents as well. As we move to the next sections of our study, we continuously pray and ask for your blessings, Father. Thank you for gathering us here once more. In no other name but Jesus Christ, our blessed Redeemer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, dear sister. So next Sabbath, by God's grace, will be April 5th, 2025. We will have a review of Chapter 85 entitled By the Sea Once More, Part 2 of our Lesson 431. But before we leave, dear ones, I would like to leave a scripture and also a small quote from Maranatha, page 78, paragraph 3. And the scripture is taken from Isaiah 64, verse 6, and it reads, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our unrighteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." And the little quote says, "The white robe of innocence was worn by our first parents when they were placed by God in Holy Eden. But when sin entered, they severed their connection with God, and the light that had encircled them departed. Nothing can man devise, to supply the place of his lost robe of innocence. Only the covering which Christ himself has provided can make us meet to appear in God's presence. This covering, the robe of his own righteousness, Christ will put upon every repentant believing soul. This robe, woven in the loom of heaven, has in it not one thread of human devising. Christ, in his humanity, brought out a perfect character. And this character he offers to impart to us. All our righteousness are filthy rags. Thank you so much, dear Savior. So may you all have a wonderful rest of the Sabbath, dear ones, and God bless.